Welcome to the Positive Spiritual Living Podcast, brought to you by Unity on the Bay. This is your positive path for spiritual living.
Candidate that we can also vote into the Board of Trustees, and especially as we are continuing to unfold what the future is for our spiritual community, with the building, with who we are, it's a really important time to get involved and be present for these activities. Last thing I'm going to say before I get to the jokes, because I know you're just really, really... Should I just jump to the jokes or no? Jason would not allow me to do that. Because last week we asked you to think about the individuals that you wanted to experience the love and the power of unity that we get to experience. And I just invited you to think of them, right? And what it would mean for them to experience the spiritual community. Today, I'm going to invite you to take out your phones. I know, we're that progressive. We don't tell you to put your phones away. We tell you to bring them out. And I'm going to ask you to take a picture of the slide of our website for our Easter season activities. So you got it. And I'm not going to ask you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. So hold on a second here. Okay. And now that you have that, of those individuals that you thought of, text them that picture right now. I'm going to give you some moments to do so. Just letting them know that you would like for them to experience Easter with you at Unity on the Bay. And I already sent it to two of my friends at the first service, so I gotta think about a third friend. All right. So we will do it to Julie, and we will do it to Danielle. All right, now that I did that, while you're doing yours, we also have some lanyards. So for those of you who will see those friends this next coming week, we want you to pass by Reverend Pam or myself to pick up a lanyard. It's a guest pass that you can give to that individual, so somebody new that you're inviting to Unity on the Bay. And what that does, it has a QR code. They follow the prompts that are on there, and we will save you and them a seat at our Easter service to welcome them and to welcome you to be a part of our Holy Week experience. So make sure that you pass by on your way out and pick one of those up from Reverend Pam and myself, and the moment that you've now all been waiting for. By the way, there was 5 of these puns, and we've now worked it down to 2. So... especially for this month of that we're celebrating. What did God say after he created Adam? I can do better. I'll create woman. See, I knew half the audience, at least half the audience, would clap for that one. And did Eve ever have a date with Adam? Did Eve ever have a date with Adam? Nope, just an apple. Listen, I'm sorry if you're still working on humor, okay? But I know who I am, and I'm good. All right, so you may have guessed from the jokes that we're going to talk a little Bible today. I'm excited about today. I'm grateful about today because I believe that one of the biggest gifts that Unity has given the world really is not only affirmative prayer, but also the way in which we can interpret sacred scripture. And this way of interpreting sacred scripture, you can interpret anything, right? Like you can interpret metaphysically interpret a book that you may have lying at home. And when we do so with the Bible, it really, I believe, opens it up to even greater understanding and a deeper message that is within it. Now, I understand that there are different relationships with the Bible that are in the room or watching from home. Some people really love it and they have one and they look at it every day or every week and really get inspired by it. And I would imagine that there are a few of you who haven't opened up a Bible in many, many years, if at all. And that's okay. In Unity, we really believe that everyone finds their own path and their own connection to sacred texts. What I'm hoping is that through our time together, listen, I'm not thinking you're going to leave here and go to the bookstore and pick up a Bible. Although if it inspires you to do so, awesome. But I'm hoping that at least you leave here inspired to see that there is something deeper within it. And maybe inspires you to at least have a better relationship or a healthier relationship with the Bible. Because I know that for some people, it's been a source of inspiration. And for some people, it's been a space of guilt and shame, right? Because there are people that weaponize religion and there are people that weaponize the Bible. And some of us have been hurt by it. And there's an opportunity for healing. I love that Charles Fillmore, co-founder, said, "The Bible is a book that deals with mind and its activities, and our purpose is to discover its hidden meanings." See, the Bible in unity is a tool that we can use to recognize the power that is within us, to recognize our own place in not only humanity, but in our spirituality, in our relationship with God. And the Bible really is considered in unity a sort of like representation of the evolution of consciousness. Now, follow me with this, right? Because in the beginning, there was only God, right? In the beginning, there was God. And then you go into Genesis, and as God was showing up in the world and expressing as us, as humanity, all of a sudden there was that fall of man that you read about in the story and the allegory of Adam and Eve, where all of a sudden we felt ourselves separate from that energy and that consciousness that we know God to be. And everything that happened in the Bible after that is us trying to re-engage with the awareness of our oneness with God. And so at the beginning, right, like with any spaces where we're sort of growing up, we sometimes need that parent figure to tell us this is right, this is wrong. If you do this, you're going to get hurt. If you do this, you're going to get a reward, right? Sounds a lot like the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament way of seeing our relationship with God. But then through the Christian scriptures and the New Testament, as some call it, all of a sudden this God that was outside of us, all of a sudden came into our midst with Jesus, our master teacher. And it didn't end there, because if you continue to read, all of a sudden, not only is it that God was outside, but now God is in the midst of us, but that Jesus came to tell us that God was as us, and that we were able to live into that consciousness of God and then embody it and live it out into the world. And so you see this evolution that is taking place. And I believe that it is an evolution that we are all moving through. And I want to talk to you today about the Bible, but about how the Bible really supports me in this path of evolution, of conscious evolution that I am on. Now, the way that we did this is we asked you to share with me some of those stories that you may be confused by, or those stories that you just like read or hear about and you say, wait. The Bible said what? The Bible said what? Wait, did the Bible really say that? How many of you have been there, done that? Yeah, like there's like some stuff in there. You're like, wait, how did that get in there to begin with? And why is it in there? When we study it metaphysically and we interpret it metaphysically, we recognize that regardless of how it got there, there is a deeper meaning for us. And that if we open our hearts and we open our minds to it, it can actually invite us into a great shift and a great understanding of our oneness with the divine and who we get to be out in the world. And so you shared some of these, the Bible said what, moments. And I want you to know this. This is my interpretation of these stories, right? And so with metaphysical Bible interpretation, you get to interpret it the way that you not only want, but I believe the way that you interpret is what is going to grow you and lead you and guide you even more so. So if you feel inspired by what I share with you today, I love it. And if you feel inspired enough to then look at what you get out of the stories, I love that also. Ready? Because some were a little doozies of when I asked people, you know, give me some of these stories that confuse you. When I got them, I was like, oh, I know why. And I had to do my own work with it. Now, the first one, though, is actually one of my favorite of the Bible stories that we get to reinterpret, because it's one that I believe has been weaponized quite a bit, especially bringing guilt or shame in about our sexuality, about the LGBTQ community that I'm a part of, right? And it's a story that has been used to demonize the others or othering individuals. And that's the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I know you have places to be today, so we're not going to get into the whole metaphysical interpretation of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Consuelo, from our welcome team, she asked about Lot's wife. And Lot's wife, how many of you, let's see, Lot's wife, her story is that she turns into a pillar of salt. Yes, okay, good. So some of you already knew that. Well, the story behind Lot and his wife is that Lot, his wife, and their children are sort of given a get-out-of-jail-free card by God. And so they live in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed by God. It's actually going to have a fire rain down upon it. And Lot, his wife, and the children are told, you know what, you'll be able to get out. You've been good people, so you'll be able to go out. But the only thing I ask of you is to not look back. Now, let's be honest. When somebody says to you, the only thing that you can't do is look back, what are most of us going to do? Yeah. And so Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, here's what I really love. This story that has been weaponized for many, has been a source of guilt and shame, to me, when I interpret it through the lens of unity, is really a story of redemption. It's really a story of inspiration and guidance. And it's really a story of allowing ourselves to move forward in life from the things that no longer serve us. And so it just reminds me from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when Joseph, Jacob's son, you know, he goes through his own stuff, but he says this, even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. I'm here to tell you that that story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his wife, while some people may have chosen to try to do harm with it, that it was intended for good and that it can bring about goodness in us, and that it is so that we can welcome more individuals into the current path of spiritual maturity, of spiritual evolution, and of conscious evolution. See, what happened is that when they looked back, all of a sudden they saw, or what was going on is that God was raining fire and damnation into Sodom and Gomorrah. How many of us have experienced where we find ourselves in a place of safety, right? Something that is comfortable for us, like a familiar place that we've been on, but we got to move out. It's no longer serving us. It's no longer fitting who we are, and we have to continue on our path. Have you all experienced that? When something was comfortable, it's no longer what is serving you, and you got to move into something that's a little more uncomfortable, but you know is the next step in your spiritual path. Been there? Yeah. How many of you are experiencing that very moment right here and right now? I see some hands up. I'm experiencing it moment by moment, if I'm being honest with you, right? And there's a sense of uncomfortability. And sometimes when we have that sense of comfortability, we tend to look back. Oh, it was better back then. Sure, it didn't serve me, but at least it was familiar. At least it was comfortable, right? No longer is the old pattern something that can move us forward, but God, learning this new pattern takes a lot of work, takes a lot of effort. Ignorance is bliss. How many of us have said that to ourselves? I say that to myself way more times than I should, really. Ignorance is bliss. Yeah? Especially when it comes to spirituality. Ignorance is bliss. If I didn't know I had the responsibility to embody my Christ nature, right? Ignorance is bliss. If only the God outside of me can take care of this for me, rather than me allow the God that is within me to show up as me in the world to do what is mine to do. And so all of a sudden, ignorance is bliss. Well, I was thinking about it on my way here. Ignorance is not bliss. Because that, we were at some level of joy and contentment. But when we know better, we know better. And all of a sudden, what brought us joy is not what brings us joy now, because we're looking for deeper joy. We're looking for more true joy. We're looking for a joy that surpasses all understanding and all circumstances. And that is the path that we are on. But that desire to go back to what was comfortable, that desire to see and experience what was, rather than moving into the unknown, which can be difficult and scary, but also full of possibility and full of potential. Eckhart Tolle says, because, you know, God burning down Sodom and Gomorrah, it feels like the end, right? Eckhart Tolle says, suffering has a noble purpose, the evolution of consciousness and the burning up of the ego. That's what we're doing in the spiritual path. We are allowing ourselves to move from one space to the next space, always releasing and letting go more and more of the ego that says that we are separate from God, that we are separate from each other, that somebody else will take care of it, and that we have no responsibility in the way that love and light and peace and joy shows up in the world. And so that takes place within us. You're not alone in sometimes feeling like, God, the spiritual path is difficult and challenging. I've said it to you before. Being spiritual and moving in the spiritual path, it takes effort. It takes work, but it's totally worth it. The kind of experience, the kind of joy, the kind of love, the kind of peace, the kind of grace that we get to experience when we continue on the path rather than look back at how things used to be, but stay in the moment, knowing of how things truly are, that right there, there's no money, there's no other experience like it. And so moving from the old consciousness to the new consciousness can sometimes be uncomfortable, and it always will lead to our highest good. And so all of a sudden, when Lot's wife looks back and she turns into a pillar of salt, think about in the times of the Hebrew scriptures, what was salt used for? To preserve, right? It's a way of preserving something. Well, when she was looking back, she wanted to preserve the old ways of being. She didn't want to let go of the old patterns. She was looking back and still being held captive to the way that things were, rather than find the freedom of creating how things will be. And so where are we on that path? Are we open? Are we willing to step into the unknown and create something new? Are we looking back and trying to preserve something that no longer is and no longer serves us? And what happens in those moments where this spiritual path does get a little challenging, does get a little difficult? Wait a minute, I'm supposed to love who? Wait a minute, I'm supposed to show up as wisdom in this moment? I'm supposed to follow the guidance, follow the direction that's at hand? But that's going to be tough. Nobody else is doing it. Why do I have to do it? All those other people on TV get to scream and do whatever they want to do, but I'm being called to show up differently. Now, connecting this to a doozy of a story that we got from Nancy Harrington, who is involved with Fellowship and a couple of other things. Actually, she didn't even ask me to interpret it. She just sent me a message that said, Ezekiel's wheel is mind-blowing. How many of you have heard of Ezekiel's wheel? Not many. Okay, well, Ezekiel's wheel, the first time I ever heard about it wasn't from the Bible or a Bible class. I remember I had one of those Time magazine books on UFOs, and it talked about Ezekiel's wheel, because for some people, Ezekiel's wheel, the vision that Ezekiel had was actually supposed to be a UFO, and his interpretation. Again, we don't have the time for me to go into that part, but what I will tell you is that looking at Ezekiel's vision, it's about this prophet in the Hebrew scriptures. It's during a time of captivity. So they have just been captured by the Babylonians, and he is by a river. And as he is by this river, and it says, I love this, that he was in his 30th year in the fourth month on the fifth day of the month. That's pretty specific, right? Metaphysically interpreting those numbers, 3 times 10, 30. 3, the number of oneness, the number of divinity, the sacred number. 10 multiplies it all, umpth degree. And so what I'm hearing in this moment is that in this story, it's not only about God and our connection to God, but it is deep, deep about who we are in the essence of God. And then it says in the fourth month, and that is the number 4 is the number of foundation. So as we are looking at this sacred story that has meaning for us, it can be the foundation on which we can then catapult into the next iteration of our conscious evolution. And then when it says on the fifth day, 5 senses. So for me, this story is about standing strong and holding an awareness of oneness, making that the foundation of my life as I move out into the world. Are you ready for that? Is that something that you want to experience and move further into? In the river, by the river, it just reminded me of this quote by St. John of the Cross, who I just love. And he says, in the narthex of the soul, bright flows the river of God. So if there are places where it's getting a little hard for you, if there are places where you feel a little stuck, just trust that in the dark nights of the soul, in those moments of challenge, in those moments of difficulty, that is where God's presence glows even stronger to guide our way. Now, the vision is of these wheels within wheels that are moving, and there's all these eyes on it. And so for me, what that can mean is that the wheels of God are always turning. The presence of God, the wisdom of God is always at hand. No matter what situation or difficulty we may be going through, we may not be able to trust the situation, but we can trust that God is in the situation. And within the presence of God that is, you know, moving right along in those wheels are these 4 creatures. Now, later on, we get to find out that they are angels. But it's these 4 creatures that have 4 faces each on them. The first one is a human face. I told you, by the way, this is quite the vision and quite the story, right? But the first one is the human face. Second one is the face of a lion. Third, the face of an ox. And fourth, the face of an eagle. So all of a sudden, for me, what this can really invite us into is that in that Christ consciousness, in the way that God is always at play in any situation, whether I recognize it or not, we can bring the connection between our human consciousness and where we're at in that situation with the lion that symbolizes power, divine authority, and courage. Sometimes I get stuck because I don't have the courage to move forward. I feel the impulse, but I don't feel strong enough to be able to do so. Well, this is telling me that within me is that power, is that courage, is that strength. The ox is resilience, right? Like the ox just does what it does. It continues to toil. It continues to work the field. So there's resilience, there's strength, and there's endurance. How many of us have moved through that spiritual journey and just thought, I can't anymore. Like, this is getting too much for me, right? Well, we can bring that endurance and that power together with the eagle who has this high-level vision, right? Can see things from up high, from a higher consciousness. And through that, not only has vision, but has wisdom and insight on how to move forward. And that is the way our Christ nature works. That is the way that our Christ nature is always at hand, that is always moving and being expressed through and as us. And when we connect to it, we are able to unstuck ourselves. We are able to move forward. We are able to welcome in what may be uncomfortable, but what we know is going to bring our highest good and the highest good for humanity. That Christ nature, I love that. Other faith traditions also talk of this and what it means to own our own divinity. In the Bhagavad Gita, the god Krishna says this, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. That Christ essence that we are, remembrance of who we are, remembrance of our oneness with God, the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to move forward and to be able to trust and have faith in the steps that we are taking. And then the forgetfulness of ignorance is bliss. It used to be easier. I'm going to forget that because that's just not who I am anymore. That's not where I'm at. That's not my life anymore. I'm moving forward. And so if you are moving through a difficult challenge, if like Ezekiel, you feel captive, you feel shackled, you feel limited by a situation, have hope. God is always at work. God's spirit is always at hand and is able to handle every situation, including the life experiences that we are on the path with, the ways in which we are evolving, and the ways in which we are growing and deepening in our oneness with the divine. And so, yes, God can move through all situations, even the most challenging. One of the things that is really important for me is that, you know, and it shows up in the story, is at first, you know, Ezekiel, when he sees this vision, he falls to the ground. He falls to the ground, and God says, stand up. This is no time for sleeping. This is no time for getting down on your knees. This is time for you to walk your walk. This is time for you to take and continue to take the steps that will lead to your highest good. And then God gives Ezekiel a little scroll. And at first, Ezekiel's going to read it, and God says, eat it. Eat it, it says. What that tells me? Consume. Embody. Don't just read it. Make it a part of your being. And so what is God telling you in this moment? How is God guiding you right now? It isn't about blindly following the guidance. It is about owning it. Owning the guidance, owning the direction, and owning the wisdom. And from that place, knowing truth, oneness, and that the path is already laid before us, we simply have to walk in God and with God to our highest good. I believe that we are a progressive community. We are a progressive spirituality. We are not regressive. We're not about going backwards. We're going about forward. We're about being in the moment and allowing the moment to birth what is next for each and every one of us. So don't be scared of the past. Don't be scared that sometimes it will feel like it's getting the best of you, and just trust that you can get the best out of the process, and you can get the best out of any challenge that you may be moving through. Buddha says this: you cannot travel the path until you have become the path itself. Let us be the path to our own awakening. Let us be the path to our own love expressed in the world. Let us be the path that brings not only us, but all of humanity into a greater awareness of the oneness and the power that is within us. The path is the God within you, and the God is expressing as your journey right here and right now. It is for us to live in the moment as the path becomes clear, moment by moment, day by day, story by story. The Bible said what? It did. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Positive Spiritual Living Podcast, brought to you by Unity on the Bay, a spiritual community located in Miami, Florida. Unity on the Bay is supported by the generosity of its community. If you'd like to make a donation or learn more about Unity on the Bay, please visit unityonthebay.org. You can also follow Unity on the Bay on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for even more positive spiritual inspiration. Until next time, thanks for listening and many blessings. Namaste.